started. Thank you for being here to our last SHAC meeting. Feels like it was quicker this year, anybody else?
Yeah.
Because it wasn't, just so exciting.
It wasn't quite as intense.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's true, too.
Intensely at work. So, let's go.
First of all, we are called to order, so we are recording, just, you know, we always know that now. But before we get started, I did want to thank some people that make our SHAC meetings much more enjoyable. Give these ladies a hand.
Why do we do it?
Someone suggested that we just have pot roast every time next year. It was the first to last. Anybody have a problem with that?
No.
Okay, I think that we just go simple and have pot roast every time.
I will move to.
We have a second.
I think a third, like whatever you need.
The other people I wanted to thank, I realize that you're here voluntarily, and I acknowledge that. But ever since the legislation changed and we have to be reported, I don't do that. So the people behind this magic curtain back here do all that, which means that their day, that they've already been up here all day, is also extended until we adjourn the meeting. So they can't come out because they're turned on audio, but give a big wave. That's John and Emily back there, and they are here because of new legislation. So they pop in and get a plate, and they go back and run the sound and do all that for us. But I just wanted to acknowledge them. Sometime tonight, if you did it before, that's great. If you hadn't done it, that's fine. Back here behind you are our Go Red entries for our campus bulletin board and door contest. Y'all know years ago, I didn't want to judge anymore. It was too hard. And so you got a ballot in there. So sometime tonight, if you'll go back there, there's an elementary division, a secondary and other building division, and then when you're done, there's pins over there on that table, and then if you'll just leave your ballot on the podium, and they kind of like that I don't just sit around and pick them. They like to know that another group of people has seen their work, and so and they get American Heart Association gives them a $50 gift card for winning, so the teachers that work them they split the card or buy something together, so they have a lot of fun with that. So you don't mind being the judges. And then if you will pull out your January minutes from last month, and you will peruse over those. And if you're not done eating, we have a video to watch tonight, so please don't scarf down your food in an effort to be done, because you're welcome to eat or have seconds or whatever we have to preview this video. So, anybody have any corrections on the minutes from January?
I move to approve the motion of the minutes.
I second.
Third.
You got Alejandra or Sabrina?
No, it was some.
Oh, was it? Oh, I'm sorry, Alejandra.
Well, can I do that since I take the minutes?
No, you got two right there.
But you weren't here last time, so
she approved. She approved them.
All right, everybody vote to approve the minutes. I'm sorry, you got a correction?
Oh, I have a question. And I probably just don't remember it. So we did talk about the appropriate shoe wear.
We previewed the discussion because we ran out of time, and I tabled it for this time. But I did talk about the fact that it was coming, and gave y'all just a little teaser.
Okay, so it probably should not say open conversation regarding appropriate shoes to wear during PE classes.
You might say something about introduction or the fact that we tabled that to this meeting, because that is the topic for this meeting. Nothing was decided last time.
So there is a change introduced.
Right. And then I move to approve the minutes as corrected.
Yeah, we should run out of time.
All right.
Okay, vote
to
approve minutes.
Somebody's got a second as amended.
My second as amended.
Oh, great job.
What did I put?
Oh,
What is wrong?
That we tabled the sheet discussion instead of actually getting to it. We just talked about the fact that we were going to table it.
We opened and tabled it.
I started to, and I was like, no. And you got Karen in there.
I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. It needed to be. You don't have to post that. Send it to ours. So many checks and balances. Anybody opposed to the minutes? Very good. We're all good. No more changes.
Thumbs up.
All right.
Yes, who approved? Who moved?
Karen and Amy.
Karen.
Dyer.
And then Amy and
Gayla. Right, so one of the last pieces from all the legislation that had to be revamped and revised was our fourth and fifth grade human growth and development video, which is always explained by the nurses. The nurses sit on it. So I'm going to let Macy tell you a little bit about that process. And then tonight, we have to preview that video. It's about 30 minutes long. I will go ahead and tell you what she did was she did a bang-up job of combining all the body systems instead of just the reproductive systems. So it's a little bit longer, but we covered a bunch of teaks with those kids that they get bits and pieces of, like in PE and stuff like that. So it is a little bit longer. It's very well done. I'll let her tell you a little bit about that process while I pull up the video.
And I sent you a link.
Okay.
5 minutes ago, I think. So the human growth and development video, we've used videos from the past that were 100 years old. Kids had tube socks on. Now that's back in style. So I don't know why. Anyway, so last year all this legislation was basically, was towards fixing this. And so, or part of it. And I don't know, I just, exactly what the team said, I went and found resources, some of it I wrote myself, other things I found YouTube videos that are embedded in this. It was quite the process, but.
There was a lot of, she put a lot of work into it.
But please enjoy.
You will. And so basically, the audience for this is your fourth and fifth graders. It is viewed. There's no separate, there's not boy teaks and girl teaks. So that's what you have to realize. There are only boy girl teaks. So the girls learn about boys and girls. The boys learn about boys and girls. What they do on the campus is they put the girls in one room and they're watching it, and the boys are in another room watching. They're watching the same video. But it was brought up, somebody said, well, why are the girls learning about the boys? Well, there's not separate teaks. They don't separate teaks by gender. So both genders learn about both genders, but they do separate them. And then there's an adult. Most of the time, a female is with the girls and a male is with the boys. Now, occasionally, there will be no males that are comfortable. And so they'll put like the nurse with the boys and then a teacher with the girls. And then they watch the video and then Macy, I guess they generally have like a Q&A if anybody has any questions or anything. So I like, from a parent standpoint, when my daughter watched this like in fifth grade, I tried to talk to her about it when she came home and I said, she goes, I don't know what was on that video. And I said, well, I signed this slip for you to watch it. And she said, I watched it like this. And I was like, and she really did. So I kind of like that this is not just the reproductive systems, because the kids don't have to be embarrassed that that's all it's about, but they're still getting information. So as a parent, I kind of like that. So anyway, so 30 minutes kickback, leftovers if you want, seconds if you want, I'll get you more tea.
We're disappointed that we don't have popcorn.
Yeah. I'm sorry, you had peach cobbler. Really? Do you have room for popcorn? And for any of you that were wondering about your ever-growing and changing bodies, maybe you learned something to smell.
Your body is made up of a group of systems. These systems rely on one another to keep your body stable so you can learn, grow, and survive. When your body systems are working properly, they're in a state called homeostasis. But when your body systems aren't working properly, you're more prone to illness and disease. Your body is made up of these systems: cardiovascular or circulatory, digestive, endocrine, excretory, integumentary, muscular, nervous, respiratory, skeletal, and reproductive.
Oh, wow. I'm sorry. I wanted to point out because Macy had to point out to me because I'm not a great pauser.
Stop.
The same video, rather than make one video for fourth and one video for fifth, she made one video, and then there is a part in it that tells them if this is this grade, stop and forward. If this is this grade, that way they're just skipping over a section and we have to make two separate videos. So there's more information for one grade level to the video. So one grade level is just instructed to forward to the next point. So when you get to that, that's why that's in there. Hope you enjoyed that slide.
Let's watch a few videos to explain what each system is and why they're important.
Systems of the human body.
The circulatory system.
Okay.
The circulatory system transports nutrients and oxygen through the whole body, thanks to blood through our veins, arteries, capillaries, and the heart, which is the main organ in this system. The heart pumps blood without oxygen and waste through the arteries to the lungs, where it expels waste and collects oxygen and nutrients needed by cells. Oxygenated blood passes through the heart and is pumped into the organs through the arteries. The organs receive the oxygenated blood and return it without oxygen, but with waste that goes back to the heart, which then pumps it to the lungs, where it picks up oxygen and expels the waste.
Systems of the human body.
The nervous system. The nervous system helps you relate to your environment. It regulates and coordinates the activities and functions of the body through nervous impulses. The senses also send information from the outside to the brain. The nervous system is divided into the central nervous system and the peripheral nervous system. The central nervous system is made up of the brain and the spinal cord. The brain is located inside the skull and is made up of the brain, cerebellum, and spinal bulb. The spinal cord is located inside the spine. The peripheral nervous system is formed by the nerves that run throughout our body.
Systems of the human body.
The respiratory system. The respiratory system is in charge of breathing. Through the nose or mouth, we obtain oxygen, which passes through the pharynx, larynx, and trachea to the lungs. In the lungs, oxygen is exchanged for carbon dioxide. The red blood cells are responsible for carrying oxygen to all parts of the body. Carbon dioxide is a harmful substance that we have to eliminate from our body by going back out the way it came in from the lungs to the nose or mouth. Carbon dioxide is eliminated from the body without us even realizing it.
Systems of the human body.
Digestive system. The digestive system is in charge of making food energy for our bodies. Digestion begins in the mouth when we chew the food. This is mixed with saliva, forming the food bolus. The food bolus passes through the pharynx, and esophagus to the stomach, where digestion will continue thanks to the gastric juices that are capable of undoing it. Next, it goes to the small intestine and then to the large intestine. The water and nutrients that our body needs are absorbed in the intestines. The capillaries of the circulatory system that surround the intestines collect nutrients and distribute them throughout the body. Finally, the solid remains that have been left over from the digestion are eliminated through the anus.
Math and science. In this video, let's take a look at the major glands that produce hormones. Hormones control your energy levels, your height, your weight, your mood, the fight or flight reflex, your sleep, and many more important functions. These hormones are produced in glands of the endocrine system. The endocrine system sends chemical messages throughout your body using chemical signals called hormones. Let's take a look at the major glands that produce these important hormones. The pituitary, the pineal, thyroid, thymus, adrenal, pancreas, testes, and ovaries. The pituitary gland is called the master gland and secretes hormones that affect other glands, including the thyroid and adrenals. It's the size of a pea and is situated just behind the bridge of your nose. The pineal gland is a pea-shaped gland that regulates melatonin. Melatonin is best known for its role it plays in regulating sleep patterns. The pancreas is interesting because it helps with digestion, along with helping the endocrine system by regulating blood sugar levels by producing the hormone insulin. The adrenal glands are located at the top of your kidneys, and they help you to respond to danger by secreting adrenaline. In addition, they help your body react to stressors like major illness or injury. The thyroid is a butter-shaped organ or gland located at the base of your neck and controls metabolism, along with other important functions, including breathing, body weight, muscle strength, heart rate, and body temperature. The thymus is located behind your sternum and helps your immune system by training and developing T cells, which are an important type of white blood cell. T cells defend your body from getting sick by fighting deadly pathogens. The ovaries are a major female reproductive glands. These glands secrete the hormone estrogen, which is vital for reproduction. And the testes are the male reproductive glands and produce testosterone, which helps with muscle strength, bone strength.
Systems of the human body.
The excretory system. The excretory system is responsible for eliminating waste. The kidneys clean the blood, producing urine with all the substances that your body does not need. When the filtration in the kidneys is finished, the urine goes on to the urinary tract. Subsequently, from the ureter to the bladder. It accumulates here until you feel like going pee. Then it exits through the urethra and is expelled outside the body.
The integumentary system, also known as the dermal system, is the largest system in the human body. It consists of structures that form the body's outer covering, and its functions include protection against the external environment, regulation of body temperature, regulation of hydration levels, sensory perception of touch, temperature, and pain, and synthesis of vitamin D. The major components of the integumentary system are the skin and the subcutaneous tissue. The skin consists of two layers. The epidermis, which is the superficial cellular layer of the skin, and the dermis, which is the deep connective tissue layer of the skin. The subcutaneous tissue, also known as the superficial fascia or hypodermis, is the connective tissue layer located immediately deep to the dermis, consisting of adipose tissue or fat.
the human body.
Skeletal system. Bones. The skeletal system is made up of bones, joints, and cartilage. Bones are hard and they support our whole body. If we didn't have bones, our body would be like jelly or a jellyfish. Joints connect our bones and allow movement in our skeleton. Cartilage is softer and more elastic than bones, and you can find it in your nose and ears. The muscular system and skeletal system make our locomotor system. We have more than 200 bones, like our skull, spinal cord, humerus, ribs, and femur bones. Other bones that we have are jawbone, vertebrae, clavicle, shoulder blade, ulna, radius. Sternum, pelvis, kneecap, tibia, fibula.
Systems of the human body.
Muscular system, the muscles. The muscular system is made up of muscles. They are able to make movement because they can contract and relax without breaking. They are elastic. They also protect our organs. Our muscular system, together with our skeletal system, make our locomotor system. Muscles connect together with our bones with fibers called tendons. The connection of both systems, directed by the nervous system, allows us to move. We have more than 600 muscles throughout the whole body, like biceps, pectorals, masseter, deltoids, quadriceps, we also have these other muscles, trapezius, triceps, glutes, and calves.
Males and females have reproductive systems with different structures and functions. You decide. What sex is responsible for the production of eggs? Females. females are responsible for the production of eggs. Fertilization and development also take place in the female reproductive system. The production of sperm occurs in the male reproductive system. Sperm are male gametes, or sex cells. Sperm cells are haploid, meaning they carry half the genetic content necessary to form a zygote. The other half of the genetic content comes from the woman's egg. Fertilization is the process of male and female gametes joining together to form a zygote. Sperm are produced in the testes. They're contained in the sac-like scrotum. An important male hormone called testosterone is also generated in the testes. During puberty, as the male body goes through hormonal and physical changes, the testes begin to produce increased amounts of testosterone, initiating sperm production and promoting the development of secondary sex characteristics, like the growth of body hair and the deepening of the voice. Each testis consists of small coiled tubes called seminiferous tubules. There are between 300 and 600 tubules in each testis. Sperm cells are produced in the seminiferous tubules, but then move to the epididymis, where they mature and are stored. Mature sperm exit the epididymis through a tube called the vas deferens. The two vas deferens empty to the urethra, the same structure through which urine empties. As sperm enter the urethra, the seminal vesicles, Cowper's glands, and the prostate gland secrete fluids into the urethra that nourishes and protects sperm. That fluid mixture is called semen. Once semen exits the penis, it's capable of fertilizing a woman's egg. As we mentioned earlier, the female reproductive system produces eggs that potentially can be fertilized by male sperm to form a zygote. Eggs are created in a woman's ovaries. Ovaries also produce the female hormones estrogen and progesterone. You observe. How many ovaries do you see? The female reproductive system includes two ovaries. They're only about 4 centimeters long and 2 centimeters wide. However, each ovary amazingly contains about 200,000 small egg sacs called follicles. Each follicle contains an immature egg. While women are born with thousands of egg sacs, only about 500 ever mature during the woman's life. When the egg sac matures, its follicle moves to the surface of the ovary, breaks open, and releases the egg. It's a process referred to as ovulation. The egg then travels through the oviduct, also called the fallopian tube. If fertilization occurs, it happens here. Then the egg travels to the thick-walled muscular uterus. It's in the uterus that the fetus develops. At the bottom of the uterus is the cervix. That's the opening into the vagina, which leads to the outside of the body. Now let's take a look at the female reproductive cycle.
Menstruation, also called having a period. As girls get older and their bodies change, they get their periods. The uterus is the part inside the body where a baby grows when a woman is pregnant. The inner lining of the uterus supports and nourishes the developing baby. If there is no baby, the lining is shed during her period. During a period, blood and other tissue from the uterus leave the body through the vagina. A period can last from a few days to about a week. You may have heard doctors talk about the menstrual cycle. This is the time from one period to another, usually about 28 days. Day one of the menstrual cycle is the first day of a period. The uterus starts to shed its lining. As soon as the period ends, the uterus prepares again to receive a fertilized egg. eggs are released from a woman's ovaries. Eggs are super tiny, one-tenth the size of a poppy seed. Women have two ovaries, one on each side. The fallopian tubes lead from each ovary to the uterus. In the middle of the menstrual cycle, an ovary releases an egg. After ovulation, the egg travels down the fallopian tube. It takes a few days to complete the journey. Meanwhile, the lining of the uterus gradually gets thicker so it can support the development of a fertilized egg. If the egg gets fertilized, it will implant in the uterus and the woman is pregnant. If the egg is not fertilized, the woman is not pregnant and the egg will begin to dissolve. Because the woman is not pregnant, the lining of the uterus is not needed. A woman will have her monthly period and the cycle begins again.
The next video is for fifth graders only. If you're not fifth grade, please skip ahead to the time code on the screen.
I'm going to assume y'all are all fifth graders, so
this animation will show how your baby develops during pregnancy. Pregnancy usually lasts around 9 months, or 40 weeks, and is divided into three trimesters. The first trimester is from week 1 to week 12. The second trimester is between 13 and 27 weeks. And the third trimester is from week 28 until birth. Here you can see the fallopian tube, ovaries, womb, and vagina. A fertilized egg will develop and grow in your womb and is known as an embryo in the early weeks of pregnancy. By week 9, the embryo has developed into a fetus. At this point, most of your baby's organs, including its heart, are forming. By the time you're 12 weeks pregnant, your baby will be around 6 centimeters, or 2.5 inches long. Your baby's eyes are still closed and its ears are forming. Here you can see the baby, the umbilical cord, the placenta, and the amniotic fluid. The umbilical cord connects your baby to the placenta. This is how your baby gets oxygen and nutrients, and how waste, such as urine, is removed. In the second trimester, your baby's sex organs develop and other organs mature. Your baby swallows amniotic fluid and passes it through its digestive system. His or her kidneys will start to work and will pass small amounts of urine. Your baby can now hear and is covered in a fine layer of hair called lanugo. You'll start feeling your baby move during the second trimester. At first, these movements may feel like butterflies or bubbles, but will get stronger and become more noticeable as your baby grows. You may start to have Braxton Hicks from 20 weeks. These are painless tightenings of your womb or practice contractions. During the third trimester, your baby's lungs mature, even though they don't work properly until birth. His or her eyes will start to open and close, and their fingernails and hair will grow. Your baby's fat stores will increase in preparation for birth. Towards the end of your pregnancy, your baby will prepare for birth by dropping down into your pelvis. It now isn't long until you meet your baby.
Testosterone, estrogen, and progesterone. Hormones, as you've learned in a previous lesson, are chemical messengers secreted by glands and have specific target organs. In this lesson, you'll learn about hormones that stimulate changes to your body during puberty. Puberty is the time frame when secondary sexual characteristics develop. In other words, when a boy matures physically to a man and a girl to a woman. In males, your testes secrete a hormone called testosterone, also known as the male hormone. Testosterone stimulates a wide variety of physiological changes, including increased body hair, especially on your face and in your armpits, more muscle mass, and your voice deepening. As well, testosterone also stimulates sperm cell production in your testes. In females, the hormone responsible for physical changes during puberty is estrogen. It is secreted by your ovaries and is responsible for some body hair growth, widening of the hips, and development of breasts. Estrogen also plays an important role in regulating the menstrual cycle, as described in more detail in another lesson. It thickens the uterus lining in anticipation of ovulation, which is the release of a mature egg from an ovary. In addition, estrogen stimulates the pituitary gland to secrete the luteinizing hormone, which is directly responsible for ovulation. Progesterone is another hormone secreted by your ovaries and works to maintain the uterus lining thickened by estrogen. This continues to occur even during pregnancy, so to support the growing fetus. In conclusion, the development of secondary sexual characteristics during puberty is stimulated by testosterone in males and estrogen in females. Estrogen and progesterone are important hormones in regulating the menstrual cycle in people.
Wow. Our
Now, this is where fourth grade would jump back in. Was this the number?
No, 2506.
That's right.
So, yes.
Okay. 2507.
Yeah.
Well, I don't remember that the fourth graders could know about hormones.
But this one was 2507, not the number?
That's what it was. Yeah, it was. I'm just questioning myself right now.
Okay. But at some point, fourth grade jumps back in.
Are really amazing. Even though we are made up of the same systems, there's a lot about us that makes us unique. Things like height, weight, blood type, breast development, penis size, hair color, eye color, shoe size, voice depth, all of these attributes are a part of what makes you, you. As you get older, many of these will change during a process called puberty. Let's watch a video that better explains what puberty is.
Hey guys! Oh, I'm so happy that you're here. Come on! Why isn't this working? I can't do anything right. I'm so useless. I hate this life!
During puberty, a person goes through many physical and emotional changes. Many of these changes are the result of new chemicals in your body called hormones. Hormones are special chemicals your body starts to produce more of during puberty, and they tell your body to grow and change in a lot of ways. Hormones can give you mood swings, sometimes without reason. You may feel very happy, and then suddenly you may feel angry or sad. Don't worry about it. Be gentle with yourself. It's normal to feel this way during puberty. If you're feeling very sad or very tired, overly anxious, overwhelmed, hopeless, guilty, or helpless for a long time, maybe a week or two, it may be signs that you're depressed. Being depressed is nothing to be embarrassed about.
Wow.
Depression can affect anyone at any time, no matter who you are, what you look like, what your gender is, or where you live. Even the rich, famous, or successful can go through depression. If you think you might be depressed, the best thing you can do is talk to someone who can help you. This might be a parent, a teacher, a guidance counselor, a coach, a doctor or nurse, or a member of your faith community. Just remember, you are not alone.
Until next time, don't forget to visit me at amaze.org or go to my YouTube channel to watch more. Bye!
As you go through puberty, personal hygiene and self-care are very important. Taking care of your body helps prevent spreading germs to others and will also help to keep you from getting sick. Here are some useful rules to follow. Wash your hands often, especially before you eat, after you go to the restroom, and if they're dirty. If soap and water are not available, use hand sanitizer. Shower or bathe every day with soap and water. If you don't have running water at your house, let your school nurse know. Wash your hair with shampoo. Brush your teeth 2 times a day. Exercise every day for 1 hour. Avoid eating unhealthy foods like candy and chips, and avoid drinking sugary beverages. Get at least 9 hours of sleep a night. Wear clean clothes. Limit the amount of time you spend using electronics, and talk to your parents or guardians about wearing deodorant or antiperspirant. Now let's talk about communicable versus non-communicable diseases. Communicable diseases are contagious infections
infections that can be spread from one person to another or from an animal to a person. Person-to-person diseases are usually spread through coughing, touching, or through blood. Some examples of communicable diseases would be the flu, strep, and COVID. Animal-to-person or vector-borne diseases are usually spread by mosquitoes, ticks, and fleas, but can come from other animals like dogs and cats. Dengue fever, West Nile virus, and Lyme disease are some examples of these types of diseases. We'll get into some more detail about vector-borne diseases in just a moment. Non-communicable diseases are not contagious and can't be spread from one person to another. These include diabetes, asthma, seizures, sickle cell, and anaphylaxis. If you or someone you know has a non-contagious disease, ask your school nurse or teacher to explain to you more about these diseases. Remember, if someone is in trouble, always call for help. Now let's talk about how to avoid vector-based diseases like we talked about earlier. Stay up to date on your vaccines. Wear light-colored long-sleeve shirts and long pants if it's not too hot while playing outside. Keep your doors and windows closed. And use insect repellent, but only if you have a parent and guardian to help you. Many of these vector-borne diseases are transmitted by ticks and mosquitoes. If you get bitten by a tick, you may not even feel it. Ticks live in shady, moist areas on the ground, usually in tall grass. If you see a tick on your skin, let a parent or guardian or teacher or your school nurse know immediately. If you never see or feel a tick on you, but see a rash that looks like this, let a parent, guardian, or teacher or your school nurse know immediately. You will need to go to the doctor and get some medicine. If you get bitten by mosquitoes, you will see a pink-red looking bump on your skin. You may wash the mosquito bite with soap and water. Try not to scratch it. If you're bitten by an animal and you're allergic to that animal, let your parent, guardian, teacher, or school nurse know immediately. Let's say you do get sick. What do you do then? Here are a few things. Tell your parent or guardian. Visit your school nurse. Cover your cough. Wash your hands. Stay home and go to the doctor. It's very likely you will know someone who is sick or has a health condition. Here are some tips on what you can do. Be compassionate and kind. Show interest. Offer help. Call for help if an emergency occurs. If you have a chronic health condition, there are many ways you can change your lifestyle for a healthier you. Eat a healthy diet. Exercise as much as you can, but only if you're able and your doctor says it's okay to do so. Explore stress relief activities like meditation. Ask for help when you need it and talk with your family and friends or a trusted adult like your school teacher, school nurse, or school counselor. Sometimes your family may not have the money or medical insurance to help take you to the doctor appointments, get vaccines for school, or maybe you need glasses. Remember, you can ask your school nurse to help you and your parents and guardians for free help so you can get the care you need. Your body is truly amazing, and it's the only one you get. So make sure you're doing everything you can to take care of it.
Segment. I think you're right on that. It was just the fetal development.
It's just the fetal.
Yeah, it's just the fetal development that is not in the fourth grade teams.
And this is the deal with this video. Every single thing that is in there is exactly what the teams ask for. Like even the part about medical care, if you don't have means, like that, everything that's in there is very specific to these very specific teaks things that I never thought I'd ever have to know or care about, but it's so there's nothing that can be adjusted. I mean, I guess if you didn't like something that was there, But as far as the content is non-negotiable.
Yeah, it's just verbatim things. So, any questions, comments, or motions?
I just have a comment on the spelling of estrogen.
That's the English version.
Yeah.
Oh, because that was because it was for the it was
the UK. UK, UK. Yes. UK.
Oh, yeah.
So that might be confusing, though. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Well, I don't know that you're going to have any more computers that know that estrogen, how to spell estrogen, but that's always something that the nurses can point out beforehand is that, hey, some of these videos weren't made in the United States, so the accents, so you notice I had to turn it up during that because it was hard to understand.
I had a hard time with that man.
Yeah. But I will tell you, when I listened to it on my, in here, I had a hard time. When I listened to it at my desk in the office, without the echo, it was fine, but it was hard to understand.
It might be the echo because I had a hard time.
There was like a little bit of an echo in here. At my desk, I didn't have any problems at all. So, but yeah, that's just the before you do any teaching that you would preface things like that. So, or like the what cracked me up was the butterfly, not butter. But that's just a voiceover error that they edited in the film. So
no, it said butter because I thought the same thing.
It said butterfly. It did, but then in print it said it should be
not butterfly.
No, it said both.
Yeah, she corrected.
Yeah, it was corrected on the yeah.
Oh, okay.
There was a correction on the
video. Because it's butterfly, not butterfly.
I liked it because for somebody like my student, just my daughter, who, like, if you say, we're just talking just about this, she's tuning you out. And so to me, when you include it with other things, for me personally, that's better for my kid, you know? So,
it's more engaging that way.
I think so. And honest.
I have another question. In the beginning, when I start talking about the different systems, it was like a little bit of a, what do you call it? Brain noise, whatever, like static noise. Is that
not a part of the video?
Yeah, I think that was part of the video.
Okay, that's the only thing that
like an electric sound.
Yeah,
I think that was part of the video. The kids will dig that, they'll do it special.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So I need a motion to accept it, if we choose to accept it, a second, and then a vote.
For our fourth and fifth grade little daughters.
As an opt-in, and again, if the parents don't want them opt-in, right. They don't opt-in. Okay? So, anybody all approve of passing this? Anybody not? All right, we're good to go. All right.
Who's second?
All right, last thing, and I don't want this to be like a big, huge, I don't think this is a big deal, y'all, and the fact that we're having to do this, I know some of you are like, this is silly, why are we going to do this? But this is a big deal. So what we are fixing to do, I did not get this in your folders. So since the TEKS have been revised, I'll save you one. So since the TEKS have been revised, it's very, very explicit. It talks about footwear and it talks about appropriate dress for activities. Now, y'all, I know it doesn't seem like it would be a big deal, but when you have multiple kids come in and they're not in dress code or they're wearing flip-flops or they're wearing, you know, cowboy boots or something, and you've got 90 kids in the gym, it does become an issue. So, and I know I've had parents tell me when I talk to E, well, when I take them to the park, they wear flip-flops. And that's fine because they're on a different surface. They're choosing what they do or don't do. And when you're in the gym, you're on a hard surface in groups of kids jumbled together. And if I tell you I need you to zigzag run, you have to zigzag run, and you may not be able to do that in flip-flops. So just, I gave you the definition of an athletic shoe, and then there was even a definition of a tennis shoe versus a sneaker. But beginning in kindergarten, all the way through high school PE, these are the phrases that are now found in the TEKS. Behaviors for active living, safety practices, responding to class expectations, safety practices and protocols when being active, proper clothing and footwear, safety precautions, clothing and footwear and safety equipment, proper attire, safety equipment, and like the footwear And proper attire is just in there over and over and over and over again. Proper attire safety equipment, safety precautions, working independently to select proper attire, proper attire again. The problem is that they never define proper attire. And if I called TEA today, they would not define it for me because they give vague umbrella descriptions and then leave it to the district, okay? So we're the district. But what prompted this is they've gotten a couple of FR questions from campuses that say, hey, how can we enforce shoes in PE? There's no guidelines. Mm-hmm. And so nobody's going to tell anybody you have to go out and buy a Nike shoe with a rubber bottom that has this many lace, and we're not doing that. So what we're going to do tonight, and then the guidelines, these are some of the things. The guideline page is what I did when I taught PE, but I was there for like 8 years. I knew the kids, I established expectations, but by the time I left, these were my expectations. Toe and heel must be completely covered. Hard rubber sole, not soft foam rubber like Hey Dudes or Crocs. I let them have lace-up, strap-on, or Velcro. I even let them have slip-on as long as it fit and it didn't come off their foot every time they kicked a ball or something. They couldn't have a raised heel. No boots, no Uggs, cowboy boots, work boots, Timberland, hiking, booties, Doc Martens, no leather or foam bottoms. Like, you know, cowboy boots will have a leather bottom. It's really slick on a concrete floor. They weren't allowed dress shoes, like a little ballerina type little slip-ons. It's ridiculous.
It's funny.
But I had a rule, do not wear shoes where creasing is a concern as this limits alters and alter students' movement.
What is that?
The junior high kids don't want to wear this. They're not
good. So there are certain shoes that they buy, and, okay, in the normal gait when I'm walking down the hall, my toe ends.
Okay.
That causes my shoe to crease.
Yes.
So they would wear shoes to PE, and thank God this is audio and not video. And they would walk like this.
Yep.
That's how they walk all day long. And then in PE, when I asked them to run, they would run like that. It was ridiculous. In fact, how many of you were here last week?
Last month.
So one of our teachers that was on our panel is the track coach at Horn. She's phenomenal. And she had a person come in who was a footwear podiatrist kind of expert and talked to her track kids about what footwear like that does to your feet when you're exercising or moving, how it changes your gait and alters your movement patterns and how unhealthy it was because her kids were, why can't we wear Crocs to track practice, that kind of thing. So she had somebody come in, and I even asked her for talking points for that tonight, and she just never got back to me. But so what we're here for tonight, what I need you to help me do, because I don't want it to be a me decision, because like I told Sabrina, I need parents who have to buy the shoes for growing kids to have input on this, as well as people who are familiar with the school district who realize that we have to have some guidelines. So using these two documents, if y'all want to get into groups, here's what I've done. I have gone online, and I have printed off pictures of every kind of shoe I can think of, okay? Everything I see from kids wearing. Now remember, we're doing this from K up for PE, okay?
Wait, not athletics.
It's really not athletics, okay? Athletics is a whole different ball game. They have specialized shoes. Most of them aren't issue shoes. But in these envelopes are shoe samples. So I want you to get in groups of like maybe 3, 4, 5, and talk about it. And then I've got charts around the room, and I've got some scotch tape. Not appropriate, things that you look at and you go, no, kids should not wear that for PE, okay? appropriate, yes, that's a good shoe for PE. And then ones that maybe you're not sure about or your group can't agree on, okay? Same thing in every envelope, every group has the same thing. Again, I try to think of every, the only thing I don't have in here is like a genuine, like, cowboy boot, which I thought was kind of an obvious anyway, so I didn't bother going back and printing. But in the group, it would be helpful if we had at least one parent of school-age children that are the ones buying these shoes. Then what I will do with our charts is I will go back and I will share with Taylor in Administrative Services kind of our sorts, and then we will establish some guidelines, and then in the fall, hopefully, we can put it on school supply list, a note that tennis shoes will be required with some guidelines. And then I can also issue this to my PE teachers and say, hey, you don't have to come up with your own tennis shoe note. Here's the district note. Now, I will tell you, this will come off as a recommendation, which means that we will have some schools that choose to enforce it to its fullest, and then we'll have some schools that are like, our kids can't afford tennis shoes, we're not going to enforce that. But this gives the school the power to enforce it if they can, and we're also going to, I'm going to speak to them about resources such as the clothes closet for kids that can't afford tennis shoes. I'm telling you, Crocs are $50, and I can go up there to WSS, and there's a whole like shoe aisle under $35.
Yeah, I've seen ones at the CC from Walmart, yeah, mostly in Target, and they're like $25.
So, but if you'll get groups like 3-4, as long as there's a parent in each group of a school-aged child, and then I'll give you your envelope, and then you can start sorting on the charts.
Are you a parent?
Yes.
Okay. We got one
thing. And I'm just going to put tape on each chart.
Whether you want to be or not.
Dude, I warned you.
Okay, let's see.
And if you have questions about one, use the guidelines that are on that paper.
This would be no, right?
No, they're called.
that human's original.
Do you have more tape?
Is that my own?
No, we're just having to wait our turn, which we can wait.
Yeah.
No.
No.
looks like the overlying guidelines that y'all have agreed on. And then if somebody says, no, that's not what I was thinking, you can reply back to me or to the group. And if not, then I'll type them up, take them to Taylor and say, this is what Shaq came up with, and he can go from there. Again, these will fall under recommendations, so a campus can enforce it to the fullest of our recommendations, but if they think that it's not appropriate for their campus, they don't have to. And unfortunately, when you do a recommendation, that's how it turns out. And we don't always have the consistency across the district, but, you know, 50 schools is a lot of consistency. So, but it looks like over here that we definitely took out sandals, Crocs, and boots. I know that this shoe, the boat shoe, has appeared on several different lists, like the Sperry's. So,
those crease.
Well, the thing with the creasing is, I don't care. Like, Tara could have a pair of Nike high tops and not mind them being creased, and then Matt can walk around like a clown if he is. So, it's not necessarily the shoe, but the person's feelings of the shoe. And so, what I would tell Tara is, you can wear yours because you're willing to wear it correctly. But if Matt, if that bothers you, then these are not okay for PE. Okay, so that's not necessarily a shoe so much as the person wearing the shoe. But the boat shoe, some people had it on undecided, some people had it on okay, and somebody had it on not okay.
For me, it's age appropriate. Like, it depends. If it's a kindergartner, I can see him in that shoe. Like, the little, you know, if it's a kindergartner. But a senior, it might be harder in gym, having extra and higher.
The only thing about that that has a rubber bottom, it ties. It's not necessarily slippery. The only thing is, like, when you're doing lateral movements side to side, there's absolutely nothing to keep you from stepping out of it like sideways. So that's the thing about that one. Let's look at the questionable ones. So on the slip-ons, like the Vans, I would tell my kids,
if they fit appropriately,
if they fit, if you can kick a ball and it stays on, you may wear it. And that's from a kid that I'm going to give a conduct mark the first time you wear that shoe. I'm going to be like, hey, do those fit you? You look at me and you tell me, yes, okay. If we're playing a game, it falls off your foot three times that day, I'm going to give you a copy of the shoe note, and I'm going to send it home with you, and I'm going to put a little note on there, Mom, this shoe won't stay on this foot, you can't wear it again. If he wears it again after that, then we're going to talk conduct mark. Okay. As far as the Nike, again, it goes back to the kid. If you'll wear yours and run right, then you can wear them. If you're going to do the little, then no. The boot, these, especially like the hiking type boot, they mark up our floors real bad.
We put that because we, again, thought the littler kids, like a lot of the kindergartners wear those kind of boots. They wear those small, not necessarily the junior high and high schoolers wear those, but the little biddies, the kinders, they wear a lot of them.
But the point, like, when you go back to the teaks want the kids, so how many of you work out? How many of you have like a gym bag or designated clothes for working out? That's what they're trying to teach the kids, is that when you put on these clothes, those are workout clothes. And while we want the PE kids to think of play as a form of exercise, we still want to train them up.
But then I got a question because I see a parent asking this.
Sure.
Are we going to give them 5 minutes to change shoes in the gym? Can they come in and uncreasables and then get 5 minutes to change shoes?
What my kids did, because most of and that's just, the answer is yes. Now, every school's going to do that differently. Now, my kids were always housed in the gym in the morning. That's where all the kids came. So if you had a pair of shoes for PE, they could come to me while they were housed in the gym in the morning and go, Miss Hatley, can I leave my PE shoes here? And we had a designated place, like right inside my office door, and that's where they lined up their shoes, and they could leave them there in the morning. They didn't have to, like, carry them around with them all day. And then when they came to PE that day, they didn't ask me. It was just built in part of our routine. They would go in there, grab their shoes, put them on, leave their shoes there, and it just became, it's just something you have to build into the routine. So some parents, some teachers had them do it, you know, in the room. Some people had them stop right outside the gym door. you know, so they always allow them to change. It's just now, if you have a girl that milks it, you have a sixth grade girl that takes her 30 minutes to, you know, then you say, look, I feel like this shoe change thing's becoming, you know, and you address that on an individual basis. So, but yes, we allow them to change shoes all the time. Do you have something or you just have an itchy? Well, you know, on our video we watched tonight, it talked about hygiene.
I did see that. Cringed a little bit.
And washing your hair with shampoo. All right, so I will take this and I will draft a document and then I will send it out. And you don't have to reply unless you have a comment or a question about the document. You don't have to, you don't have to reply to me if you don't want to. If you like it, then that's fine. All right. If you will look at your file and find your membership card for next year.
That's what she needs.
We're trying to figure out what we got membership card.
Membership card. Membership
card. Look, he was so...
What do you say?
He recommended you.
Oh, Jen.
Oh, I should have known that. Favor. I'm sorry it's been a rough night between these two. And we are adjourned.